سورة الفاتحة. حسبنا الله نعم الوكيل، نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. اللهم صل على وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. The genesis of our actions are three. There are three reasons why we do the things that we do. Either we do things because we like to do them, or we do things because we think it's right for us, or we do things because someone told us to. There are three sources, or the three reasons why we do everything in our life. So when you look at your whole life and see all the things that you have done in your life, they're based on one of these three things. Either they're based on your desires, that you like doing them, that's why you did them, or they're based on your discernment, that you think it's right for you, and that's why you did them, or they're based on the fact that someone told you to do it and you followed orders. These are three reasons why we do the things that we do. And we see that all our actions can be divided into these three types. Now when we look at our actions, you will see that certain things, we do them because we like to do them. For example, we read a book. Why are we reading this book? It's because I like reading this author. I like the author, that's why I read him. We see a certain movie. So we see that movie not because, oh, it's good for me, I think it's the right thing for me, right? It's not about it being right for you. You haven't discerned it to be, you know, the right thing for you to do. You do it because you like to do it. Or, for example, you see certain actions that we do because we think they're right for us. For example, we eat, for example, certain foods that we actually don't like, but knowing that they're good for us, we do it. For example, we brush our teeth. So it's not that we love doing it, right, or we like doing it. It's because we know it's the right thing for us to do. So this is based on our akal, based on our discernment that we are doing it, not based on our desire. But there are certain other things that we do because we are told to do them, and not because we like it, nor because we think it's right, but because of the fact that we have been told to do it. So the first basis of our action is desire. The second basis of our action is akal and intellect. And the third basis of our action is obligation and command. That we listen to the command of someone and we do it as an obligation because we have been commanded to do so. All of these three things are a part of a human's life. And we see that everyone does their actions based on one of these three things. Now, when we look at a command or an order, and when we are speaking about obligation and wajibat, we see that in order for a thing to be wajib, in order for a thing to become amr or command, then it has to have two characteristics. I want you to understand this very well, because it is necessary for us to know what these wajibat are. These wajibat are made because Allah has commanded us to do them. He has commanded us to pray, so we pray. He has commanded us to fast, so we fast. So by Allah giving the command, it became wajib on us. These wajibat must have two characteristics for it to be wajib. And these two characteristics is, first thing, is that the wajib or the amr that Allah is giving, the order that Allah is giving, should not be according to our desire. It should not be according to our desire. Meaning we should not like it. If we like it, then it ceases to be a command. It ceases to be wajib. If we like it. If it is according to our desire, then it will not be an amr anymore. It won't be a command anymore. That's the first condition. The second condition is that it should not be according to our intellect. Meaning that we shouldn't think that this is the right thing for us. It should be against our intellect. It should be against our rationale. Because if it is with our intellect, if it is in conformity with our intellect, then it ceases to be a command and an obligation. For example, if a person is fasting, and nowadays, since the month of Ramadan is in summer, and the days are longer, and hence the fasting is more excruciating. So after a whole days of fast, a person is hungry. And he's ready to eat. Now, after he prays Maghrib, the iftar is on the table, and he goes to the table, sits on the chair, and the food is in front of him, and then you look at him, and you order him, eat. You look up at you and say, what are you saying? Eat. I command you to eat. You don't need to command me. I know I have to eat. I'm going to eat anyway. When you're hungry, and if someone commands you to eat, that command is not a command because you already desire that. When you desire something, then you cannot command something according to your desire. It cannot be according to your desire. Otherwise, it won't make sense for it to be according to your desire. If I like to do something, why are you commanding? I'm going to do it anyway. I'm hungry, I'm going to eat anyway. Why are you commanding me to eat? It won't make sense for anyone to command someone when he desires it. Or for example, I'll give another example, send Allah salawats. You know, you come back from a long journey and you are tired. Right. And you get home, you get ready to go to sleep, and as you're about to go to sleep, your mother, she comes and she commands you, go to sleep. Mother, I was going to do that anyway. Right. See, at that time, knowing that this is the right thing for you, if someone commands you at that time, the command would not make sense. Why? Because we are going to do that anyway. Either through our desires or through our intellect. So if Allah commands you to do something, then it must be a command that comes in such a place that goes against our desire and against our aql. If it's according to what we think is right and what we discern to be right, then it ceases to be a command. That's why all the wajibat that Allah has given has to have these two characteristics. They have to go either against our desire or against our aql. If they're with it, they cannot be wajibat anymore. They cannot be commands anymore. This is the reason when you look at the wajibat, you will see that how they are not in conformity with our aql. Not in conformity with our desire. Because our intellect or our desire, if you look at it and you see the wajibat of Allah, you see that Allah has made fajr prayer wajib. He said, pray. Now when we use our aql or desire, we would say to Allah, Allah, listen, you know, you asked me to do 17 rakat a day. At least let me choose when I do it. Right? Meaning that when I'm ready, I'll do all of it at once, and 15 minutes, it's over. And then I can go about my day, not have to worry about any other thing. Allah said, no. These are going to come at timings. Now you see the timings Allah set. Right? In the morning, when you want to sleep, the best time to sleep in the morning, when you know that, you know what? This is a time to get your rest, that time that is your beauty nap, you know, where the sheets are the most comfortable, the air is the most coolest, and you feel like sleeping. Then Allah says, get up. Then Allah's command comes, get up, and we say, Allah, just wait 2 more hours. I'm going to get up anyway. I have to go to work. I have to go to work anyway. Allah, just give me 2 more hours. Right? I'll get up and I'll pray. Right? Meaning our desire is saying that, listen, sleep. Allah says, get up. Our aql is saying, listen, I'm going to get up at 8 anyway to go to work. So let me get up 5 minutes before and I'll pray. It only takes 2 minutes to pray. But what's the, our aql doesn't agree with the fact that we have to get up at 5, then go back to sleep and wake up again at 8. You're breaking your sleep. So now what happens? Allah is trying to make this order a command. And command means that it cannot be according to your aql. Yes, your aql says wake up at 8:30. It makes more sense for you to do that. But then Allah is saying no. The command comes when the command is there so that it should not be what you like or it should not be what you think is right. Then you are following a command. Then and then only do you follow a command. This is why many people make mistake in trying to rationalize wajibat. You know, I think it's right. I think this is the right thing for me. You know, oh, prayer is a good thing. When you teach in madrasas also, you try to rationalize wajibat to children and say, it's the right thing for us to do, it's good for us. Why are you saying it's good for us? It doesn't make sense to pray at this time. Because it doesn't make sense to pray at this time. Our aql and our intellect is saying, no, when I get up at this time, I will pray 5 minutes before that, and it makes perfect sense that I can go on with my day and not have my rest broken. Understand this very well, my friends. What are wajibat? What are obligations? What is the commands of Allah? This is reason why we see that all these three things that we see that are the genesis of our action, whether we act according to our desire, whether we act according to our aql, or whether we act according to the commands, all of these three things are a part of our life. And taklif or commands must be different than what we desire and what we understand to be right. If they are according to our aql, then it means that we are not following orders. We are doing what our aql is saying. Let me give an example so it becomes clearer. Salawats. You know, your pulling into the IEC and you want to go into the garage. A brother who stands at the garage tells you not to go here. Well, he tells you what? Don't go there. And you're like looking at him, thinking, you know, why should I listen to him? Right? Why should I listen to him? Right? And then he explains himself. He says, oh, it's full here. He said, oh, it's full. That's why he's saying that. So you go the other way. Right? Now, why didn't you go there? Why did you turn away from there? Is it because you followed his command, or is it because your akal says this is full here and I should go there? See, understand the difference between discernment and following a command. You see, here you didn't obey his command, you just did what your akal says is right. You just did what your akal said was right for you to do. You didn't obey what he said. You see, my friends, if Allah gives a command and if we follow it because we think it's right, then you're not following what Allah said, you're doing what you think is right. You're doing what you think is right. You're not doing what Allah said. This is the difference between a command and what knowing what you think is right. This is where it needs to be very clear. That's why all the wajibat that Allah gave are wajibat that our job is not to rationalize them, but to know that they came from Allah and to follow them. This is where this thing comes in. But Allah, he doesn't say, listen, the only thing you do in life is obey commands. No, all these three things are necessary in life. You need to follow your desires, you need to follow your aql, and you need to follow commands. All these three things are a part of your life. And each of these things are necessary for certain aspects of your life. Meaning, that if a person is not allowed to follow his desires, if a person is not allowed to do what he likes to do, then that person ends up becoming an imbalanced person. He loses his balance in life. I mean, if he always does things according to his akal or according to commands, you will see that a person like that who doesn't follow his desires or does what he likes to do will become an imbalanced person. Imam Ali alayhi salam had said, in his order or his advice to organize our life, he said, listen, do not work 7 days a week. Do not work 7 days a week. He said, at least take one day off to do something in that day that is different than the work that you do. Take one day off of the week, at least one day. He said, take at least one day off and do on that day something that is different than what you do in your daily life, meaning the work that you do, whatever business you have, whatever thing you do, something else than that. Do something different than that. Whatever you want to do. Why? Because it's that one day that's going to give you balance for the rest of the week. But if you work all the time, you will see that person becomes imbalanced. So, doing what you like to do brings about balance in life. If a person is not allowed to act according to his akal, what happens to him? If a person is not allowed to do what he thinks is right, and he is not allowed to use his mind, then that person becomes an unintelligent person. He becomes someone who's dumb and naive, who doesn't understand right from wrong, who is unable to figure out what to do. This is what happens when you're not allowed to follow your akal. This is the second thing. So now, what was the first thing? If you're not allowed to follow your desire, you become imbalanced. If you're not allowed to follow your discernment and akal, you become dumb. What happens if you're not following commands and orders and obligations? What happens then? What happens to that person who doesn't follow commands? Friends, what happens to the person who doesn't follow command is that he never experiences spirituality. Spirituality is gained not by doing what you desire or not by doing what you think is right. Spirituality is gained by following the commands of Allah. That's how you gain spirituality. That's how you become spiritual. If a person never followed anyone above him, if he never followed commands in his life, if he never had any obligations in his life, then that person has never experienced spirituality in his life. He cannot experience spirituality. Spirituality comes from obeying commands, from doing what others tell you. That's how you become spiritual. That's where you gain happiness of that spiritual life that people are looking for, everyone is looking for. It's not gained by doing what you desire to do, and it's not gained by doing what you think is right. It's gained by doing what others have told you to do, a higher being. In our case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Really, you have to think right now, with all the things that I've just said, what is it? Look at your day today and ask yourself, what have you done today that is taklif and only taklif? What have you done today in your day that is just listening to what Allah asked you to do? A lot of times, this is the reason why we have to really understand the difference, my friends, between our desire, our aql, and obedience. Really, because a lot of times, did you pray because Allah told you to pray, or did you pray because you like it, or because you think it's right? Why did you pray? Sayyid Murtaza was one of the earlier ulama of the Shias. He was the marja of his time, and he's the brother of Sayyid Radhi, the person who compiled Nahjul Balagha. Sayyid Murtaza, very well known alim in our history. Very well known. He was the marja of his time. Right? And he has written many books. Sayyid Murtaza, on his deathbed, made a wasiyat, a will, to his students and the people around him. And you know what that will was? He said, make up all my prayers again. He says that all the prayers I made in my life, make them up again. Redo them. Now his students, I mean, he's the marja, we are the students. I mean, you know, when you're looking up to him, you're like, but, aha, Sayyid, you know, it's because of you, you know, he used to pray. I mean, what do you mean make them all up, you know? How can your prayers be wrong? How can your prayers be wrong? In fact, you used to enjoy your prayers so much. We used to see you, you were so engrossed in your prayers. You used to enjoy them. How can your prayers be wrong? How can you, your prayers have to be made up again? If your prayers are made up, what about our prayers? You know, we're in a big mess now. We used to see you. We used to pray behind you. You used to inspire us to pray. You used to enjoy your prayers so much. You know what he said in reply? He said, you know, that is the problem with my prayers. I didn't know if I prayed because I enjoyed it, because I'm listening to what Allah has asked me to do. Did I pray because of obedience or because of enjoyment? I can't figure it out. There's a difference between, you know, what your desire is, what your aql is, and what obedience is. Obedience to obligations. See, this is where we need to figure out, what did I do today that is only to say that, you know what, I did this only because Allah told me to do it. All right, I'll stop here. Let me give a proof of what I'm saying from Hadith, right? And how Allah trained us in all these three genesis of our actions and trained us. This Hadith that you all heard of many times before, and I'm just repeating it for you, and you know this Hadith. But I'm just going to say this Hadith so you can apply it to what I just said. And then you will be able to better figure out for yourself. Send a loud salawat. Three things that I said: desire, aqal, and orders. Right? There's a hadith we have from Rasulullah and also other imams, in which he has said that in raising children, when your child is from the age of 0 to 7, how should you treat him? Like a king, prince, alright. All of them are good. Right? Treat him like a prince. Put it this way. Or a princess. Now, what does that mean? He said, treat him like a prince. What does that mean? Now listen, how does a prince behave? A prince is someone who gets what he wants. He gets what he likes. He does what he likes, he gets what he wants. That's what a prince is. In other words, you see that this person is doing what he wants to do, and you should let him do what he wants to do and what he likes to do. So what is he doing at that age? He is following his desires. He is following his desires. He's doing what he likes. So when you have a child at that age, and he wants to do something, he likes to do something, you see, that's how they do their things at that age. A 3-year-old, 4-year-old doesn't say, I think this is the right thing for me to do. I mean, what do a 3-4-year-old say? He says, Daddy, I want that. You see, I like it. I mean, that's how you ask them. When you ask them the question, ask the appropriate question. Don't ask them, so, do you think this is right? You know, that's not the right question for them. Say, do you like it? Why? Because at that time you're telling him, listen, live according to your desire. That's the age. Right? That's why you don't put any obligations on him. He says, no, do as I say. No, you don't say that to a child who's 4. Right? You don't put that obligation on him. Why? Because that's not the age for him to know that. His age is to know what he likes and to do what he likes. And that's why you see Allah wanted that child to be treated like a king. Why? Because let him live according to his desires at that age. And then when he says, when he turns 7, not exactly 7, you know, don't say that. 7th birthday, that's it. No more prince. Out you go. You know, you slowly make the transition, right? Slowly make the transition when he's 6, you know, 7, you know, slowly make it. I mean, imagine this, you know, his princehood or her princesshood goes down from 0 to 7. You know, it's a decline. You know, when they're born, you see everything they want, they just cry and you give it. Right? You don't even say anything, right? At that age, you're just doing, you're a slave to them. You're just a slave to them when they are 0 to 6 months to 1 year, you see. You're just slaving after them. You know, of course, when they grow a little bit older, then you say, okay, you know, time to pull in the reins here, you know. Can't be a prince like you were at 0, you know, now you're 5, right? You know, it's not going to work now. Your crying doesn't work now, right? Yes, if you were crying at 6 months, I can understand it. Now you're 6 years old, you're crying, it's not going to work. Right? So you see that princesshood goes down on a decline. Right? And then, for example, slowly you transition that period into the second period. From the age of 7 to 14, you treat him like what? A slave. How do you treat a slave? Servant. How do you treat a servant? You know, a servant is known by obedience to commands. You command him and he follows your command. That's what you need to teach him at that age. Not exactly on his 7th birthday, but you see that slowly you transition him from what he likes to what you say, and he should say, yes, father, or yes, mother. That's how he should be transitioned. Change him to that. And Allah says, now you treat him like a servant. Now give him commands. Ask him to do something and let him do it. So you see, at that age where they're transitioning, what happens is that, for example, you tell them, son, bring me a glass of water. And your son says, I don't want to. So now what's happening here? You see, he's still at that level of prince. He hasn't transitioned to servant yet. So he needs to understand that, listen, when I give an order, it means it has to be obeyed. It has to be followed. And you train him to obey commands. Right? I'll explain to you why later, not me. You tell the children. When they ask you, well, why should I do that? No, I will explain why later. This is not the time for you to understand why. Your aql is not mature enough to understand why right now. So if your 10-year-old is asking you, well, why is that? He said, no, even if I tell you, you won't understand it. That's why I'm not going to tell you right now. You just do what I tell you to do. When you will be at the right age, then I will tell you why. And then you will understand it then. Our parents, what the mistake they do is that they try to explain to him why then. They say, oh, the kids in America, they always ask why. They ask why because they're able to ask why and get away with it. That's why. You let them get away with it. He says, what are you talking about why? You're 10 years old. Even if I told you why, you won't understand it. Your mind is not mature enough to understand it. Just listen to what I'm saying. All you need to know is this. I am wiser than you are. Right? I had a son and you didn't. And you are the proof. Right? So just listen to it. Listen to what I'm saying, right? So that's how they need to learn, just to obey. Just obey. What I'm saying, obey it. Finished. Obey it. Do what I'm saying. That's it. So now what happens is that when they go through that period, that's what it means. Treat him like a slave. Why? Give him commands. Train him to learn how to listen to commands. And then when he's from the age of 14 to 17, then how should you treat him? Like a advisor. Right? Then at this time, you should say, listen, I'm not going to tell you what to do. Now, I want you to think what is right for yourself. Right? That's the age where now your mind is maturing. Now you're able to understand things. Now you're able to discern things. Start discerning. Start knowing what's right and wrong. I'm here for you. I'm here for you. And I'll back you up. But you make the decisions. And when you fall, I'll grab you and I'll help you to get up. But you make the decisions. Think for yourself. See, that's where you learn how to discern. This is how you go through life. And this 21 years of training Islam has given and has gone and has made it into three different stages to do what? So that you can learn that these are the three bases of your actions. Either you act according to desire, or you act according to aql, or you act according to obedience. These are the three different reasons why we do the things that we do. And after 21, now you have to choose which place you should act according to desire, which place you should act according to aql, and which place you should act according to obedience. All these three are important, my friends. All these three are important. You can't leave without one. You say, no, only, oh, Islam says only obedience. No, it doesn't say that. Islam says there's time for your aql, there's time for your desire, and there's time for obedience. And all three things are necessary for each other. This is my second point. All these three things I just explained are necessary for each other. In order for you to enjoy one, you need the other. If you don't have one, then you don't enjoy the others. My friend, understand what I'm saying very well. If you do things that you like to do, you will not find enjoyment in them unless you do those things that are obligated on you. If you do the things that you think is right for you, you will not enjoy them unless, you will not find pleasure in them unless you do the things that you're obligated to do. Really, this is where we come to. You want an example for that? Yeah. Allahumma salli. I take that as a yes. All right, I'll give an example. And I want you to understand this really well. My friends, again, what is that I'm explaining? What's the principle? He said, listen, all these three, your desire, aql, and wajibat, all of these things are necessary for each other. Meaning, in order to enjoy one of them, you need to have the others. If you don't have the others, you will not enjoy one of them. If someone doesn't follow the rules of hijab, I'm talking to men here. If someone doesn't follow the rules of nazar or looking at things that are haram for them, meaning that they did not stop themselves from looking at things that are haram for them. If someone did not stop themselves and their eyes from looking at what is haram for them, when Allah will give them something halal to look at, they will not be able to enjoy it. That's the way it is. If you did not stop yourself from indulging in haram, then when Allah will give you something halal, you will not be able to enjoy it. You will not be able to find pleasure in it. That is the reality. That's why you see many marriages are broken because of why? Because when Allah gave them something halal, they could not find pleasure in it. That is why, my friend. Understand it. If a person does not pray, then you see his time that he spends would be difficult for him to pass. It would be very hard for him to pass time. And he will be burdened to pass that time. But if a person prays, then you see the time he gets between prayers becomes more enjoyable for him. Becomes more pleasurable for him. Allah, in between prayers, he has asked you to do what you want to do. Go ahead, do it. Now when you listen to your desire, after you do the wajibat, you see your desires become that much more pleasurable. It becomes that much more pleasurable. This is what happens. Wajibat make our life more pleasurable. Those who do not do wajibat, their life is not pleasurable. They cannot find pleasure in life. They can't find pleasure in life. When we do obligation and listen to commands, that's what makes the time when we follow our desires better for us. More enjoyable for us. Get this in your mind, my brothers and sisters. This is something that when we want to know how important this is in our lives, and sometimes mistakes are made, and how these mistakes go on to affect us in our life, is because we don't know what type of action we are doing and what should we be doing. Why Allah made these wajibat? It is there because our desires become more pleasurable to that. What we do other than that becomes better for us. Anything that you do in life. This is what wajibat does. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Listen, obeying commands of Allah is a necessity in order that our life becomes pleasurable. Allah gave these commands to us and said, I made prayers wajib, fasting wajib, and I made these wajibat on you. Why? Because I want you to enjoy the life here. Really? Allah doesn't have, so a lot of people, you know, when they have some power in their hands, you know, the power goes to their head. And then, you know, they start giving orders right away. This is it. You know, it's my kingdom. I'll do what I say. It does happen. You know, people have syndromes, you know, disorders, you know, that they start giving commands. Hey, do this, you know. Remember, you know, in the Middle East, you know, when you go to the public bathrooms, they have the washrooms there, and there's one person outside who's in charge of the you know, the water jugs, you know, the lotas, right? And his job is to fill up the lotas, you know, and, you know, line them up for the people, you know. So anyone who comes in, you know, they take a lota, go inside, and they give him a tip also at the end, if they want to. So now what happens is that, you know, one guy, lota man, you know, was sitting there, and he's looking at the lotas, you know. And, you know, I went there to get one, you know. He said, no, not that one, that one. All right, you know, picked up that one. I don't know what he said there, but I just picked it up. He, you know, you're in charge, man, you tell me. Went inside, came out, and I said, what's wrong with that one? He said, there's nothing. Why did you stop me from picking that one? Because I'm in charge. When people have power, even power over lotas, now they want control, right? Now they want to control everything, right? This is what it is. So now, obviously, Allah is powerful. Allah is the commander. Do you think that Allah has a disorder of, you know, just giving orders to us and commands and saying, my command, my command, my command? Really, all these wajibat that we have, what do you think they are? What do you think they are? That Allah, you know, wants us to do all these things, you know, that no, because I'm in charge, I'm going to tell you what to do. Do you really think that Allah has this sort of thinking? Really, I mean, look at us. I mean, Allah, you know, we are at your mercy. I mean, this is how Allah is going to think about us, and you know what, I'm going to play around with, I'm going to tell them what to do, you know. Really, my friends, think about it. If Allah gave us these wajibat, if Allah made certain things wajib on us, if He gave us some commands, what is it for? I'll ask you a question. Right? Question is this. What does Allah like more? Does He like to give orders, or does He like to take orders? Think about it. Does Allah like to give orders and see others follow them, or does He like to take orders and serve others? What does Allah like? Understand this, my friends. You know, how many wajibat do you have? A handful. You got a handful of wajibat, handful of commands from Allah. Allah is saying, listen, you listen to me and follow what I say, the few things that I've said in this life, and I will be taking orders from you for an eternity. I'll be taking orders for you forever. You just follow what I say, the few things that I've said in this few years you're living here, and then watch me as I listen to your orders. You come there and you tell me, Allah, I want this, and see how I serve you. This is Allah. This is who Allah is. Allah likes to take orders. He said, you tell me what to do, I'll do it for you. You tell me what to do. Alright? When you go to Jannah, what will happen? Allah, I want this. Allah, make me this. I'll do it. For eternity, I will do it. For an eternity, I will do it. All I'm asking you, the few years you live here, you listen to what I say. The few things that I say. And I'm not saying a lot. Allah doesn't give a lot of orders, my friend. Allah doesn't give you a lot of commands. In fact, those people who know Allah very well, they go out and search to find out what Allah has made wajib so they can do it. A few things Allah has made wajib on us. We should take it as a blessing that whenever Allah made something wajib, we should take it as a blessing because this is a master who doesn't give that many orders. He doesn't give that many orders. This is Allah. Now when we do a wajib, we should look at it and say, Allah, this is a blessing. You never tell me to do anything. This is something you told me to do. Let me do it for you. Imam Sajjad used to cry to Allah, Allah, right, that you are going to give me orders. I mean, you know, who am I? Who am I that you are speaking to me like this? I'm a nobody. But Allah, you are asking me to make dua to you and to ask you and to tell you what to do. My friend, sometimes Allah, you know, He leaves us speechless. You know, I mean, when we aren't able to do the few things that He said, and still He's ready to forgive us and say, come here, now you watch me as I listen to you. You know how ashamed we will be in front of Him? Really? Let's go to Karbala. You know, let's go to Karbala. And I want you to see Imam Hussein. You know, Imam Hussein did so much. You know, Imam Hussein did so much, right? He gave so much to Allah. And Allah is waiting for Hussein to ask for something. Allah is waiting for Hussein. Ask for something, Hussein. I'm ready. You give so much for me, ask me right now. Tell me, what you want? What do you want? I'm ready to give you everything. I mean, Hussein, he went through many stages on Ashura. You know, he went through the stage of sacrificing Ali Akbar. You know, when he sacrificed Ali Akbar, angels were ready. Hussein, you sacrificed Ali Akbar. Really, you know, when Ibrahim went to the sacrifice of Ismail, and even though Ismail was not sacrificed, Allah said, because you did it, now I will answer whatever you ask me, Ibrahim. So Ibrahim asked, Allah, what about my children? Make them and them and them. He asked, and Allah replied, He said, yes, whatever you say, I'll do it because you did this for me. Hussein gave up Ali Akbar, and angels are waiting. Hussein asked for something. Hussein saying, no, I will be patient. I will not ask. No, stop it. I will not ask. He sacrificed Ali Asghar, and Ali Asghar's blood is on his face. You know how hard was it for Imam Hussein when he brought out Ali Asghar, and Ali Asghar's blood was in his hands. Very hard. He called out to Zainab and said, Zainab, my sister, come here. You can't see, I'm unable to walk. I'm unable to walk. Angels are waiting for Hussein to ask for something. Hussein, ask for something from Allah. Hussein is saying, no, I will wait. I will wait. I will wait. I will not ask. I will not ask right now. He went through everything. All of this happened. He's being slaughtered right now. And the angels are saying, Hussein, ask. What do you want from Allah? Allah is ready to listen to your commands now. Say what you want to say to Allah. Hussein is saying, no, I don't want anything right now. I will save my request. I will save my request for later. And you know what he's saving it for? In sajda, in the last sajda. You know what he said? Imam Hussein made this statement to Allah that, Allah, I fulfilled what I have done for you. Allah, you fulfilled the promise you made to me. Allah, fulfilled the promise that you made to me. You know what that promise will be? Imam Hussein went through all the struggles that he did and the ordeal that he did, and he saved his last request. He didn't make any request to Allah. He didn't ask for anything from Allah. You know what he saved it for? He said, on the day of judgment, Allah, give me the authority that I will be able to save my Shias from the hellfire. Imam saved his last request in order that he gives you shifa'at, that he gives you intercession. He saved his last request. He didn't ask for anything for Ali Asghar or Ali Akbar. He said, give me that chance that I may be able to give this request to the believers who believed in you, Allah. But my friends, imagine this, even Allah, the Day of Judgment, Imam Hussain will be there. What kind of behavior they will have, or what kind of behavior we'll have with them? What kind of interaction will we have with Imam Hussain on that day? You know, on that day, on Day of Judgment, the most people who will be saved from the hellfire will be because of Fatimah al-Zahra. She will be the greatest intercessor on the Day of Judgment. Imam Hussain will say, Mother, you are here now. I give my whatever authority I have over to you. You do it now, Mother. Fatima will save everyone. But you know what will happen on the Day of Judgment? Imagine this. What will happen? You know, when we look at this and we see on the Day of Judgment how things will work out, we will be put to shame. That when we will be standing there and everyone will be around and everyone will be, their heads will be put down because of the actions they have done, and we will be thinking that, you know, we didn't obey and we didn't follow the guidance that has been given to us. On that day when Fatima will come and say, these are my children, she will say, these are my children, Allah, let them be. Then you see, we will look up to her and say, Fatima, we never listened to you, but now you're saying we are your children and you're letting us be. سَيَعْلَمُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا أَيَّ مُنْقَلَبٍ يَنْقَلِبُونَ يَا مَحْمُود بِحَكِّ مُحَمَّدٍ يَا عَلَى بِحَكِّ فَاطِرِ السَّمَاوَاتِ بِحَكِّ فَاطِمَا يَا مُحْسِنٍ بِحَكِّ حَسَنٍ يَا قَدِيمُ الْأَحْسَانِ بِحَكِّ حُسَيْنٍ أَوْ اللَّهُ Give us the tawfiq to be on the right path. Give us the wisdom to understand your guidance. Hasten the reappearance of our Imam. Make us his helper when he comes. Wa akhir al-da'wan. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Matim Hussain. Hussain.